Hello and welcome. My name is Darren Russell and I'm just your average creator. On this show, I talk to people from all walks of life about how they use creativity and everything from business through the hobbies to inspire you, the audience, to get out there, dream big, get creative.
Episode 1, Money is Making Art.
I'm here today talking to Rudy Vijaya. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Vijaya.
Vijaya. Ah, damn it. I don't want to offend anyone, obviously, but I wouldn't try and get that right. Okay,
Offended. You're totally fine.
Excellent. So I thought I'd get it off right out of the bat that Rudy and I actually work together at our current companies. I do this podcast on the side. He does a lot of creative work on the side as well. And how about you tell us a little bit about sort of what you do currently, like from a creative standpoint, sort of artistically, and sort of, yeah, just give us a rundown of what you sort of currently do creatively.
As far as creatively, I do take on a lot of modeling opportunities. Every now and then I do still photograph, but it's more so of just photos of myself, if anything. So modeling at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I do anything from like small brands to larger, more commercial brands. Mostly geared towards fashion, but also in a few other random things, such as Apple, the iPhones, and all that stuff.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, and you've got like, how big is your following on Instagram now?
Well, sorry, these lights are motion. Okay, I have about 27,000.
27,000, and that's awesome. Yeah. Like, I could only wish I've got like a couple hundred. So one of the things that I was wondering is like, what do you feel like there was one moment that you got to that, so that sort of drove growth for you for your Instagram, or was it more sort of like just a slow grind, just constantly posting? Do you have any sort of tips or I guess ideas on how that worked?
Yeah, I mean, of course there always needs the content has to be there, but there's also sort of a math or a formula that goes along with driving numbers. So for me, it was, I initially started as a photographer. So I worked with a lot of models, and through that, I got a lot of attention onto my blog, or not my blog, but my Instagram itself. And from there, every time I would post a photo of myself now and then I would get other clothing brands who the people that I shot with would see me and be like, hey, do you want to work with us too? And from there, just kind of like, you know, bounce back off each other.
Right. And so you work with like agencies, or do you, it's all off your own bat? Like, do you get a lot of inbound interest, or do you sort of go looking for it?
So I don't actually reach out to specific brands. I never have done that. But I'm also not signed to any specific agency. But what I do is work with a lot of smaller agencies who will not put me on a contract, but will still find me work for a smaller percentage. But, you know, the work comes in more frequently.
Yeah, that's nice. I guess there's a lot less sort of legwork to do for that. So that's sort of makes it so that you can do it on the side of your job and not be thinking about it so constantly.
Correct. It's very like passive, so these brands will reach to me directly when they want me specifically, so it's not me spending my time doing cold calls basically.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like what do you think's what's been like your favorite, like your most interesting or favorite shoot that you've done so far?
Favorite, there's a lot, but for different reasons. So there was one time that I got taken to the desert, and it was a fully expensed trip, and for a few days they fed us and took us to all these different attractions, all for the sake of a photo shoot where they basically just followed us behind with a photographer.
Yeah.
And so that was fun just because the whole experience was great. And then that was for Paco Rabanne, which is like this European fragrance brand.
Gotcha.
And then there are just those shoots where I work with, these are usually the smaller brands, but I get like a real connection with the brand and the photographers. So all the stuff that we make ends up working really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like, I know you, like you sort of mentioned that you've also done photography and you've also mentioned to me in the past that you do like videography and other elements like that. So when you're like modeling and doing that, do you feel like that helps you? Like you sort of know what to do to work with the camera, or yeah, sort of talk about that.
Yeah, because it's always this like back and forth between the photographers and talent about what they're supposed to do and what they're looking for. And because I've been on both sides, it's easy for me to communicate to photographers and also know what the photographer is looking for when I'm on either end of the scope.
Right.
I think just having that knowledge is pretty helpful.
Yeah. So do you feel like there's like a creative element to the modeling as well? Because you've got to sort of make the shot look interesting too. So like, does that sort of feed that side of you, that creative side?
Yeah, because when you're a model, you're... You know, basically just you have to come up with all the poses and depending on the brand, it's not always just that, wow, these lights are really, sorry.
No, it's really turns out quick.
But, you know, sometimes you have to help with the styling because they'll give you one article and you can give your own input as, I think it'll look better this way, or I think we should shoot this over here. You know, you're helping with location and set and all the direction as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. So I sort of want to go back to the beginning a little bit and talk about, so in my research on you, I found out that you actually were studying to do teaching and sort of maybe didn't necessarily, I'm just wondering if you grew up in like a creative household or like was it, were you just sort of born with this creative drive or passion? Sort of what sort of motivated you from a young age, or did you kind of just fall into it and learn it as you go?
I grew up in a very strict traditional Asian household, actually. Yeah. And being creative wasn't actually even something I considered as being a career just because of how I was raised.
Yeah.
But since I was young, I'd always liked, drawing, and I would always... I made my own trading card game that I would out of these papers. And I always thought about like directing movies or stuff. But I always thought these were just like fun little hobbies. I never thought about like, this could lead to like, you know, a lifetime of career or work. And so when I went to school, I was studying English because, I mean, even given through all that, I ended up loving writing of all things. So I said it was to become a teacher, but when I moved to LA, I was just doing photography as a hobby, but you know, that kind of picked up and took its own course. So I followed that one instead.
Right. So growing up in the sort of the environment that you did, what do your parents think of sort of where you've ended up? And because obviously it's not a traditional like pathway to like a career, so it's quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad, I kind of cut ties with him growing up.
Sorry.
Towards the end of high school. No worries. Yeah. For among, you know, being a creative and other things, we just like did not get along.
Of course.
But yeah, we did end up reconnecting many years down the road. And this was after I'd already done all the creative work.
Got
and
it.
He had found a new wife who he says had like changed him, made him more understanding. And now I kind of wanted to meet up with him to put it in his face and be like, hey, look at all this stuff I've done. But you know, he was already willing to eat it up. So we rekindled. Yeah.
It just sort of had a happy ending at least. But it's funny that it was like a bit of a chip on your shoulder and something that you could be proud of. But also you wouldn't be like, ha, see, I did do it. It was fine.
Right. Yes.
No, that's I get those sort of moments too. Like when I was younger, I have this really random memory of a news story saying that, you know, girls do better at school than boys do. And I'm like, oh, stuff that. I'm going to beat all of them. it's just this random memory that always sticks in my head. And it's funny how we get those sort of little motivation and,
yeah,
and
things. Like the challenges.
Yeah. So on that motivation, sort of what drives you to keep doing things creatively? Like I hear from a lot of people that sort of talk about wanting to do creative stuff or things that they're passionate about, and they sometimes just never end up doing it. Some people are just a lot of talk. So in your case, you're doing it and you've got a job and you've got this stuff you do all on the side and you film things all the time. Like, you're doing a lot of different things. So sort of what motivates you, do you feel?
Well, I guess I never felt like I needed motivation in the first place, because it's one of those things where, you know, I can do it. It's fun and I want to do it. So it's why not kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's cool. And I think that's probably the important point, is like, if you find something that you're actually passionate about, you don't really need the motivation to go out and do it. It's like, you just want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. And that's something I try to tell people as well, as just like, you know, go find something you're actually passionate about. And it doesn't have to be your main career, like per se, like it can just be something that you do at night or on weekends or something, sort of kind of like what we both do. Like I've gotten lucky and I'm pretty passionate about graphic design as well, but like in the end, that's also just my job and I've got other things I'm passionate about. So that's one thing I find interesting, because your job doesn't necessarily have a creative element to it. So how do you, like, I know we've all got to make a living and stuff like that, but how does that play into sort of your direction in life, and do you feel like you want to have something more creative in your day-to-day as well, or are you happy sort of splitting up those two, and does that juxtaposition of not so creative job and creative stuff sort of play off together? How does that work in your head?
Honestly, I don't mind the trade-off. I don't necessarily think I need more creative direction in my day-to-day. Right. I wouldn't mind it if I did, though. Yeah. Because as much as I love the creative side of things, I strangely also like, you know, what I do in my day job, which is just being organized and crunching numbers in some way. Because even in my personal life, I'm always the designated like landlord between my house mates, you know, because I love organizing and all that stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. And so you have a few roommates as well, right? Like you've got and they're all sort of creatives.
Yeah, so I live in pretty much just a huge cluster of creative people.
Yeah, and you were saying when we were setting the call that it was a bit loud, so I guess it's a bit of a madhouse sometimes too.
All the time, yes.
but that's fun. I think a lot of people can feed off of that. And do you feel like that having those people around you as well is sort of spurs you on to just like multiple creative projects to sort of come up out of the blue?
Yeah, and because we all work in different creative fields, anytime there's an opportunity that comes their way, it's typically for some, you know, someone who works in a different field, which would be, you know, any number of people in our house. So we always pass those opportunities along.
Yeah, right. So one thing that I saw you in was like a music video. And there was a beach.
Oh, yeah.
that seems so like it was a very artsy project too.
Yeah, the artist for that video was actually one of my best friends and also my housemate. So like I said, nice. How these, you know, kind of projects can kind of intertwine with living with each other.
Yeah, for sure. It was funny. I went pretty deep, so I also found some videos of you on YouTube singing, and you're really good. Yeah. Trust me, I went far and wide to try and find everything.
That's great research. But like I said, I didn't grow up, even though in a strict household, I just naturally fell towards all the creative hobbies. So among writing and drawing, I grew up playing the drums and the guitar, singing and breakdancing and all that stuff.
Nice. Like, you must have, did you get any training for any of that? Or like, did you just sort of teach yourself?
I actually did not like being taught any of these things. My mom tried putting me in a class for drawing, and that's when I actually quit drawing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of, obviously, like, natural talent, because, like, I played the drums as well when I was growing up, and, like, I was okay, I was fine. Like, I could hit a 4-4 rock beat and a few other things, just suffice and get along, but drawing was always my thing. And I did some classes and stuff as well, but I totally get what you mean. Sometimes, like, you just get it, and, like, obviously, like, you could sing and you can play guitar, and you found your way to sort of get better and improve. Like, I think it's important for other people. Like, sometimes you're not always born with such raw talent as what you've got, because you seem to just sort of gravitate to things. And you can, I do feel like you can learn and sort of get better at stuff, even if you just don't have that raw talent to start off with. Like, do you have any sort of, like, advice or sort of thoughts on what people can do to improve?
Yeah, so even though when I say I teach myself, it's, that I don't like being taught, but I actually teach myself. So a lot of it is just, like, researching online. The internet has always been my greatest tool for whatever I'm trying to learn.
Yeah.
And that's just my preferred method of learning, which is why being taught something doesn't really work as well for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, you don't like to sit there and be instructed to. It's like you can do stuff in your own
time. And it's not that my way is any better or worse than anyone else's. It's just has to find, you know, what works best for them. That's really the only way they can improve the best way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Okay, so what's your favorite part of being an influencer? Like, do you really enjoy doing that, or is it kind of like a means to an end?
I like it for... There's a few things that come along with it. Of course, first and foremost is the free things I get. It's always nice to have.
Yeah, for sure.
That, and it's also a really nice source of passive income for what I call doing minimal work when I'm on set for most of the time.
Yeah.
Compared to everyone else on set, at least. Of course, I know what everyone else goes through.
Yeah, like the photographer having to run around.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then that is, I mean, it's a creative outlet as well, so I always appreciate that.
Yeah. You were talking about also you got into writing. I found a Goodreads account where you liked a few books. It didn't seem like you had too much on there, but do you like reading as well, or like you read a lot?
I grew up a bookworm, but somewhere down the line, I just, you know, I loved writing, but I could not stand to read after a certain point in my life. I'm not sure why.
No, I get that. Do you write anything still, or do you like write poetry or?
Not as much as I used to. Now if I do write, it's mostly prose. But when I did have a strong passion for writing, it was, you know, a lot of emo depressing 2010, 2012 poetry.
Yeah. No, I get that. It's like, well, you have to get that stuff all out. Like, you're a very positive person. Like, that's my take on you. And I'm kind of the same, but, like, you know, I guess in my teens I was angsty too and wrote, like, depressing things. But I think it's important to get that sort of stuff out so that you can just be positive.
Yeah, I feel totally the same way, and I know you listen to a lot of rock music at work for that reason.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like a juxtaposition. It's like, I'm happy, but then I can know that other people go through shit, and it's like, it's fine. So do you remember any sort of like favorite books or anything like that? Do you have anything that sort of sings out to you?
Oh, I mean, I stopped reading at a young age. So if I were to think about favorite books or series, it'd be like the Box Top Kids Detectives or I can't even remember the titles anymore. Lemony Snicket.
Oh, yeah. Like a series of unfortunate events like
that. Yes, that one. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And I was also reading that when you first moved to LA, you did like an internship with Undor Denari. Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah. Undor Ordinary.
Yeah. So what was that like? Did you enjoy that? Like, what did that sort of entail for you?
So that one was actually a big, also a short chapter in my LA life, but one that really kicked everything off for me.
Yeah.
Because I was still living in Pomona at the time, and my friend told me that this interview was, this company was having interviews for interns. Yeah. And so I drove an hour up to LA, sat down for an interview, and they liked me so much that they asked me to shoot an event for them later that night. And Undo Ordinary is a fitness fashion magazine. Focuses on, living a healthy and well lifestyle, but also like looking fresh or good while you do it. Yes. So I ended up staying in 4 or 5 hours that I refused to drive back home. And I came in, and instead of hiring me as an intern, they brought me on as a photographer, and I shot my first spread for them. That was like my first published work in a magazine, which was really nice to like see in print. And through there, I found out that I didn't work well with the founders of the magazine. Well, we were friends, but just our working styles didn't work well together.
Oh, interesting.
So what they did was they introduced me to some like really big brands, and I worked with them through them after I stopped working with the magazine. And then that's how the whole everything started to steamroll from there.
Right. So, and like, I guess that's a pretty important moment. And that's one of those things where people say, like, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And do you really believe in that?
I've always advocated that, and I've been saying it my whole life.
Yeah, because like, it does seem like, you know, after meeting them and then getting like, because you started to do some like event photography, right? From that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you would meet people there, and it sort of grows from there. And I guess once you got to that point, then you were working, like you would have met models there that you would have shot. And then that's sort of where you were talking about, then you started to have photos with them or whatever happens there.
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty that crazy.
Exactly.
it's so interesting to know, like, that a single moment like that in your life can actually have such a big flow on effect for the rest of your life, which it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show how important it is to like always, like, even if I didn't get along or like work well with the magazine, that we still kept great relations so that they were able to, you know, forward me to like bigger opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good point to make, because that's where being a good person to work with or you know, a likable person, I guess you could say, and not burning bridges.
Yeah.
I've always believed that that's a very important thing too. You want to leave a place better than when you got there, kind of thing.
Yeah, especially as a creative, because you work with so many different people and, you know, it's always word of mouth referrals in the creative industry.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So if you were to go down a creative path as your whole career, and have you thought about that? Like, what sort of, how do you think that would look for you?
That's tough because I actually prefer having the stability of a, you know, non-creative job.
Right.
As confident as I am in my work, I just, you know, don't trust myself. I could get lazy if I'm not like fully committed to something all the time.
Right.
Because I have tried it, and that is what happened to me.
Got it. So, and I think that's cool though. Like you, that's very self-aware. Like, you know, you've got to know what you like. And I can be a bit like that too. Like sometimes if it's like I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend all this day working on a project or something. Sometimes I'll spend like the first half of the day messing around, like cleaning up something, doing something, and not just like getting in and focusing on what I said I was going to do. And then it's like the last part of the day, I'm like cramming everything in, and then I'm annoyed that I didn't do everything I was going to do. And it's like, why do I do this? I had all the day.
Every time, but yeah. I never learned, so I decided to stop trying.
Yeah, no, and I think that's cool. That's kind of actually one of the whole reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, is to sort of talk to people from all walks of life and sort of explain that, like, you know, there's no one way to be creative. There's no one way to use your creativity. It's can be in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And I think you're like a perfect example of why it's important to sort of figure out who you are and what you want to do, because you don't just have to focus in on that one thing. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, oh. Thank you.
So do you have any projects coming up that you're excited about, or is there a bit of a lull over the Christmassy break or the holiday break?
Right now I'm actually working on a campaign with Dickies, which is going to be pretty cool.
Sweet.
And a number of, you know, marijuana THC dispensaries, because it's now the thing in LA.
It's the big thing in LA right now.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, are they going to be like location ones, or are you going to be like, it's more local?
These ones are more local to specific dispensaries. So those are there. The one for Dickies is just there for their fall, flannel campaign. I think that's about as much as I can say.
Yeah, that's right. You can't say too much. We don't want to mess that up. Okay. So one other thing, I'm interested in as well as like, so because of the how you grew up and you weren't encouraged to necessarily be creative or know that that'd be a path for you, like what would you have said to your younger self if you could at that time, to or like would you do anything differently, like if you could go back and tell your younger self anything, what would it be?
I think I narcissistically like myself too much to risk changing anything, so I probably wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, you know, I think life's also about that, like, you know, things happen for a reason and
yeah, the perfect balance of whatever went wrong or right to lead up to this now.
Yeah. No, I think that's cool. So okay, so I guess another way to look at it as well. So if you had
Oh, sorry about that.
That's right, that was a bit loud. So if you had any advice for someone that's looking to do what you do, like influencer marketing or whatever, like do you have any advice on where they should start or what they should do?
Let's see, because it has changed a lot since I have started, so right. My advice to myself wouldn't have been the same that I'll give now.
Yeah. But
it's really just about, you got to learn how to speak to people at the right. End of the day, sort of yeah. Negotiating terms or, you know, trying to land a spot in the campaign. It's you're gonna have to know how to speak to people,
right? And I think something that, like, do you feel like what you ended up sort of doing to get you there was like that internship with the that magazine? Do you feel like something like that would also help people, like sort of be behind the camera in some instances to sort of like get into the world at least? Do you feel like that's a useful tactic as well?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these sort of opportunities are always like the least expected ones that come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, given that, I would suppose the best advice I would give is just to take those risks and those opportunities that might seem out of your comfort zone. Because for me, that internship was a huge step for me because I'd only served at restaurants before that. Photography was just a hobby at that point. So I was just like, should I do it? Sure. They ended up loving me and look what happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone for that potential higher outcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what about children? Like, it's one of those things I find hard because it's like, I don't want to tell anyone to go and do a certain thing. I think it's important as a kid when you're growing up to, like, you know, explore a lot of options and do a lot of things. Like, I feel like you're on a similar sort of vein. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's always good to try different things because not that, I mean, you might fall in love with that one thing that you try, but it could also lead to different things in the strangest way.
Yeah. Sort of going back to another point, did you ever finish, like, doing anything with teaching, or did you, like, finish your studies there, or did you decide to sort of give that all up?
I almost finished school for it, but I didn't, so.
Oh, right.
I just, yeah, took a step away.
Got it. Was that before you got that internship, like, and then you just sort of were figuring out what you were going to do, or?
The internship was before I actually went to school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so you did that for a bit, then you went away, was doing...
Then I went to school, to like help appease my mom, but then I ended up not wanting to finish it.
that's interesting. Like, that's, again, that whole juxtaposition of you trying to do your creative thing and then also do, like, what pleases your parents or, like, gives you that stability, and that seems to be a big part of your journey so far.
Yeah, that's basically my whole life.
Do you have any ambitions or goals in the next, like, 5 to 10 years, sort of where you're going?
I've actually never been one to look at the future that far ahead, at least. I've always just been, you know, one step forward at a time kind of person.
Yeah, and just sort of take
and I've been doing okay based off that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So one other thing with do you find that the influencer sort of side thing that you do right now, like, do you feel that like at least, like, financially, is that something good, that it's, like, worth the time that you put into it?
As long as you know how to negotiate with brands, again, knowing how to communicate with people, I could probably survive on just my influencer money alone. It is a good source of income as long as you negotiate your terms and then work with the right people to get the right brands.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it is tough because I know a lot of people who have tried to start, but it is tough.
Yeah.
Monetarily, at least. Yeah.
And I think the if I could ever accomplish what you did with the influencer stuff, it makes the most sense to do it beside a stable job, because you don't know when these things are going to come in unless you're, like, really actively pushing for it. And then at the same time, you don't really want to be doing that. I think your approach to it is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, but that is also just my safe way of doing it. If you want to take the risk and leap face first, and, you know, I mean, that was my prior advice, so I would say do it.
Yeah. So did you find that there was, like, a magic number that you hit with your, like, following count before, like, these things started to happen, or is it more the connections that you made rather than your actual following?
I would say the numbers now have changed, but back when I was on that verge of coming up around, like, the 3,000 mark was when brands started reaching out to me more.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but yeah. I feel like now it seems like it needs to be, like, more like 10,000, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially with the influx of, like, all those, like, bots and whatever.
Yeah, so, like, you got to, like, shave off some of the numbers that you've got because, like, some of them will be bots.
Yeah.
I know modeling's a little bit different, but with, like, creative pursuits in general, or, like, photography or whatever, do you feel like it takes away from, like, the integrity of art if you, like, getting paid for it? So, like, And there's like a, I know there's like a different scape between like just art for art's sake, and then you've got sort of commercial art, which is sort of more modeling, I guess, and that kind of stuff. But like, and then are there projects that you just do for the sake of doing it? And but if you were to do something like that, like let's say film a music video for someone, but it was like you feel like that's more of a creative passion of yours, does it feel wrong or does it make it less artistic if you then accept payment for that?
I don't necessarily think just because you accept payment for it would affect anything on how creative it is. But there are other factors that come into play when you're accepting a payment, such as, you know, meeting the needs of multiple people, not just yourself. So you're not creating something just for yourself. But I don't think that takes away from the artistic feature either. It just takes away from, you know, you producing something that comes from yourself, something that's like inner, raw, your feelings. I think creating art that curates to someone else and matching that perfectly is an art in itself too. So, you know, I don't think there's any loss of integrity or anything there. It's just two different kinds of art.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I guess I'll probably wrap it up here with, like, let us know how, like, to follow you or, like, yeah, just that kind of thing, like your handles and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm only on Instagram. You can find me at Rudes, which is R-U-U-D-E-S. And that's about it.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you for taking the time and walking out of your house and walking around in the cold, because I can see the smoke coming out a little bit.
Just trying to hit all the light sensors, you know.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed our chat and look forward to talking more, obviously, because we work together. But it's been a real good time.
Yeah, me as well. Thank you for having me, Darren.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Go to justyouraveragecreative.com for show notes and other great content. And as always, be sure to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you next time.